Welcome to another Basilica of St. Mary podcast. I'm Carlos Presenio, the Director of Communications and Evangelization at the Basilica, which is located in Alexandria, Virginia. In this episode, my guest is Robert Nalawajek, the Executive Vice President of CAP USA, which spreads the knowledge and encourages the practice of Catholic social teaching. He previews his October 7, 2025 talk in our Lyceum Auditorium on Catholic social teaching called Dynamic Truth for Policymakers and Engaged Citizens. Bob, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So as always, we like to start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear God, send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts to Jesus. Guide us to a deeper conversion. Grant us a greater appreciation of the beauty and truth of our Catholic faith. Give us the courage and confidence to joyfully share our faith with others. May your church be a beacon of light for all who seek your loving presence. We ask this all through our Lord Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So I've been really looking forward to this interview, mainly because of what the topic that you're going to be talking about, which is often referred to as one of the church's greatest secrets. Mm. So that's why I've been looking forward to you kind of making people understand why it shouldn't be a secret and why your talk people should attend. So with all that in mind, what is CAP USA and what was St. John Paul II's hopes for creating it?
Ah, interesting question. Back to the roots. Leave it to John Paul. He created CAP in 1993. And with some research from our General Secretary of the Vatican, we've established that he created something unique in the history of the church. He created this organization under Vatican civil law and church canon law. Okay, so it has two personhoods in a legal sense, a legal personhood and a canonical church personhood. What makes it unique is it's the only lay organization ever to hold that status in 2,000 years. Again, leave it to John Paul. What does that mean? Our board, our governing board, is predominantly selected by the members and the board, just like any U.S. 501c3 not-for-profit. The Secretary of State of the Holy See picks two of our board members. The president for the Association for the Patrimony of the Holy See picks one. The members elect two, and the board co-opts the remainder. So it's a majority self-perpetuating lay board with canonical status and personhood. So John Paul created something very unique. And even more unique, I think, he did not put CAP under the Dicastery of Propagation of the Faith, as it was called then, or any of the other dicasteries that one would think we would belong under. He put us under what's called APSA, APSA. That's the Association for the Patrimony of the Vatican's resources, mainly property, but also money. So we're under a working dicastery, if you wish. It was also very unique. So that's how he founded us. As to what he has us doing, it was very clear in the founding documents. And for the purpose of this conversation, the number one thing was to promote the knowledge and the practice of Catholic social teaching. That's the number one purpose. But actually, if I can carry this story a little forward, we meet with the Holy Fathers every year. We're his. We belong to the Holy Father. So since 1993, we've met with the Holy Father each year. In 04, just 4 months before he died, his talk to us is actually reflective of a last will and testament. And he said that, and I'll paraphrase, but it's almost a quote because I've said it so long, that the teaching of the church in social matters is more often quoted than known and used instrumentally. And he said, we can't have that. We need to make the full broad knowledge of Catholic social teaching known. So there's kind of a beginning reason, but his last comment to us was, yes, make it known, and please, it's so much instrumental use, it's hurting us. And I'm sure I'm answering your question. I'm rambling a bit, but does that get to what you were asking?
It does. So why is your upcoming talk, which is titled Catholic Social Teaching, Dynamic Truth for Policymakers and Engaged Citizens. I love that title, by the way. So important and relevant in today's world.
Let me give you a bit longer answer on that, maybe. Benedict was probably one of the greatest theologians of the 20th and 21st century. John Paul was a great philosopher. Benedict did something that is very not well picked up yet, and it takes anything in the church takes a while. But Francis clearly built on it. But again, the theologians haven't talked about it or formalized it. But let me explain that. Benedict basically said that there aren't two forms of charity. There's not just corporal works of mercy and spiritual works of mercy. He said there's three. And the third one is implementing Catholic social teaching. So he raised implementing social teaching of the church in society to the level of and equal to the other forms of charity. Now, why? Which is a big deal. It's just a big deal. Francis definitely took that up. Francis had a comment that, again, I'll paraphrase rather than quote, and he said it many times in different ways. He said, we cannot be like Pilate and wash our hands of what's going on around us. He said, Catholics must participate in politics. That's a quote. Must. And then he said, why? Because it's the highest form of charity. So our Holy Fathers have told us that Catholic social teaching is politics. And being and working in politics, as according to Francis, is actually the highest form of charity. Who knows that? Who understands that? Who internalizes that? But I think if we did, we would then change the face of the earth. So hopefully the reason I think it's important is to get that across and have people internalize, this is a big mission. This is charity. And I shared that with a young colleague, four kids, 35 years old, I think. And he threw up his hands. He said, I hate politics. I don't want to avoid it. Now I have to. Why didn't you tell me that? I said, well, good.
That's great. That's a beautiful answer.
It's to make that better understood and known.
Yeah, you really broadened the narrative there. So please share a topic of importance in today's world, and how does being steeped in Catholic social teaching help you to deal with it in a more Christ-like way?
Well, a perennial topic for the last six or seven years, immigration. Let's look at immigration. Social teaching has a very, very nuanced and broad understanding of immigration. Let me just share actually some of the comments. Pope Benedict said, quote, certainly every state has the right to regulate migration and to enact policies dictated by the general requirements of the common good, albeit always safeguarding respect for the dignity of each human person. So let's start with that. Catholic social teaching recognizes the right of the state to regulate migration and enact policies dictated by the requirements of the common good. Okay, start with that. But at the same time, from Gaudium et Spes to the Catechism, there's an obligation to deal with migrants and immigrants. So there's the balance that Catholic social teaching establishes. Now, what's the Catholic implementation of that, if you wish? I think it would go back and first of all, I make a point. President Trump basically promised mass deportations during his campaign. He said he would do that. Now, did American Catholics vote for mass deportation? Well, 58% of Catholics who voted for Trump. But did they vote for mass deportation? So how does Catholic social teaching guide us, for example? And let's look at two scenarios. Targeted deportation. Back to Benedict's comment. Every state has the right to regulate. And John Paul affirmed that because he basically said, certainly the exercise of a right to emigrate is to be regulated. And he went on to explain why. So is there a Catholic basis for targeted deportation? Yes. Let's look at mass deportation. I don't know, 11, 12, 15 million, throw them all out. Well, the church would also talk about there's a right to migrate, richer nations have an obligation. And to remove 11 to 20 million people, many of whom are contributing and adding to the community, would be difficult for us to support with Catholic social teaching. So that's, if you wish, kind of where Catholic social teaching can help balance. It can frame the debate. It doesn't tell you what to do. It frames it. So where does that leave us? Catholic social teaching says avoid the extremes. It avoids, and really, I think, criticizes what the prior administration did. Let them all in. That's not in line with Catholic teaching. Throw them all out. That's also not in line with Catholic social teaching. So it's really to welcome the stranger and then to prudently protect our community. And within those parameters and with the principles of Catholic social teaching, people of goodwill can disagree. But let's disagree when we understand the principles and don't start with positions. So,
that's
again,
beautiful.
I give you long answers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
I need water, but I don't have it here. So
what you said was reminds me of that quote, like the truth is always in the middle.
Catholic social teaching would not totally agree with that, because on issues of life, no, there's
right.
no middle.
Yep.
These are absolute. Abortion, euthanasia, transgender issues. On issues of life and the dignity of the human person, there's no compromise. None. Zero.
Makes sense. So what has been the biggest transformation in your life as a result of understanding Catholic social teaching and using it as a guide in your life?
Wow. everything. One, I don't belong to a political party. I support candidates to apply what Francis said, you must be involved in politics. And I support positions based on Catholic social teaching. So what it did for me is, the more I came to understand it, it gave me such a liberating and brilliant way to think about the world and the issues that face us. It's like a fog was lifted. I was able to peer through and say, oh, no, this here, blah, blah, blah. I was able to analyze issues based on Catholic social teaching and not ideological principles. That's liberating. And to raise the specter of Charlie Kirk, it also allows one to not be aggressive when you're dealing with the opposition. It's, no, let's bring you inside to understand this. It's such a rich thing. Let me help you understand what it is. So I'd say, I can't say life transforming, but thought transforming and how I approach issues. Yeah, completely. Because the three principles are timeless and they're accessible. They're accessible from basically natural law and human understanding. Human dignity, solidarity, and subsidiarity, all leading to the common good. So the common good results from the application of Catholic social teaching. And if you understand that, you have to be motivated to implement it. So
that makes sense. That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing all that. And the last question is, so I understand that CAPUSA is hoping to engage new members in the DMV area. So what do you all plan to invite people to at the end of your talk?
Great question. We have two members in the Washington area who hope to carry on what will come from our evening together and form a group. And now to start approaching an issue with an understanding of Catholic social teaching with that group. So starting to inform consciences based on Catholic social teaching around key issues. And once there's a group that has got that, if you wish, take it to the next level. Can we involve ambassadors, members of Congress, the administration, lobbyists, et cetera? So we hope to carry on this one short seed that we'll be planting with two of our members leading a process to take it forward.
Wow, that's really inspiring. So we look forward to this talk on October 7th, Bob. So thank you for sharing all that. So as always, we like to end with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Loving God, you have called each of us to be servants. Help us to witness to your love for the least of our brothers and sisters. Grant us a deep desire to care for the poor and to work for justice. Help us to be men and women of prayer, humility, love, and service. Give us the strength and courage to live according to these rich social teachings of our Catholic faith. We ask this through your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to the Basilica of St. Mary podcast. You can find our complete podcast archive online at our website, stmaryoldtown.org. There's an icon on the homepage that says Basilica Podcasts. Our podcasts are also available for download on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Subscribe today.